All right, hour number three, we kick it off this way. We'll step aside from the Nationals for now. If you want to still chime in on that, you can, 301-230-0980, but we'll roll out this. So over the weekend, we got a Terry McLaurin update, and everybody goes, oh, my God, Terry's not happy because Jeremy Fowler said so. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, apparently on Sunday morning, I guess it was, on SportsCenter said, Terry's, quote, not happy with where things are with an extension, end quote. Not a surprise. Even if they were making a lot of progress, I think you would have heard nothing, or you would have heard, you know, that, I don't know, that there was a potential that a deal could be struck or something like that. but for him to say, apparently, through back channels, that he's not happy with where things are with an extension, again, should be not surprising to you. And we know this. The most significant date is when the Commanders veterans have to report to training camp, which is July 22nd, a little bit early, whether Terry McLaurin is there or not. Because that is mandatory. But you say, well, wait a second, Chris. In June was mandatory as well, and he boycotted that. And you're right. There is a difference between mandatory OTAs and mandatory training camp. There just is. Even though there's fines for both, there just is. So I've never really been worried about it, and I've said this over and over and over again, until we get to, I don't know, a day or so before training camp or before the report date, and there's no news, there's seemingly friction still or negative reports or what have you. And we all know, we all should know the problem, right, is Terry's coming off of a beyond career year, but he turns 30 in week two of the season. This is probably his last huge contract. The market is approximately set at about $33 million. I've said that for weeks and weeks and weeks on end about DK Metcalf. He's got five straight 1,000-yard seasons. He had 13 regular season touchdowns last year, 16 overall, but only 82 catches, 1,096 yards. Again, the 13 touchdowns. We know he only averaged 4.5 touchdowns for a four-year period before that. A lot of people thought it was because of the incompetent boobery at offensive coordinator and the lack of a special quarterback. And again, those are impossible to deny. But Terry last year with Cliff Kingsbury, with Jaden Daniels, obviously exploded once again onto the scene. But was that a one-year thing? Was that something that the Commanders should pay $35 million a year for? Those are the issues. And Terry's going to have his perspective, and the Commanders are going to have their perspective. Now, one thing I haven't really brought up a whole lot is, and I started to hear last week, and I had been kind of, I had been looking at where the market is now and not as much where the market has been. And what I mean by that is this. The wide receiver market, we know, again, with Ja'Marr Chase getting his money at $40 million a year and Justin Jefferson at $35 million a year and CeeDee Lamb and DK Metcalf and so on and so forth. We know where that market is. But somebody pointed out to me, and then Adam Schefter mentioned this as well on SportsCenter last week, or maybe it was McAfee's show, I can't remember, that what the Commanders are possibly looking at, and this, I don't think it was definitively, but what they were likely looking at, and maybe it was what they are looking at because Schefter had asked somebody and somebody said this was the name, was Mike Evans and his contract with the Buccaneers. Now, Mike Evans right now is 32 years old. And Mike Evans per year makes 20.5 per year. Mike Evans, when he signed the deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he's 32 now. When he signed the deal, in terms of the current deal that he's on, and again, he's averaging, 20.2 million dollars a year or whatever it was, 20.5 million dollars a year. When he signed the deal, right, he was, where is it here? It was in 2024. So I believe that was before the 2024 season. So now he has 1 year left remaining on his contract, if I'm figuring this out correctly. And Mike Evans was 31, whatever it might be.
31. Yeah.
31, when he signed the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at that, if the Commanders are, listen, Mike Evans is a great player. And the reason why he's got 1 year left on his deal is because he's got void years in which the Buccaneers are going to have to pay like $14 million worth of dead money, whatever way they choose to go. They basically did a two-year contract, but they spread it out over 5 years for salary cap avoidance or distribution. So he's got one working year left on his contract, right? And again, when Mike Evans signed that deal, he was approximately, give or take, Terry's, in terms of his age, right? Again, Terry's 30, going on, he'll be 30 in mid-September, right? So again, you can use whatever numbers you want. Mike Evans, just for argument's sake, okay, has, over the last 2 years, scored 11 touchdowns last year, 13 the year before that, 2023, which gets him the new contract. Where does that ring a bell, 13? Well, it rings a bell as in that's exactly the number Terry McLaurin had, 13. 6 the year before that, 14, 13. Mike Evans also had 2 years of 12 touchdowns apiece. Mike Evans has been a better player over his career than Terry McLaurin. Now, yes, he's had more to work with, but don't make any mistake about it. Before Baker Mayfield got there, it's not like Tampa was loaded with quarterback talent, okay? And Baker Mayfield, we all know, is a little bit hot and cold, a little bit inconsistent, a little bit up and down, but he's talented. He was former number one overall pick, as we know. But Mike Evans, again, got that contract right around the same age as Terry McLaurin and with the same amount of touchdowns in the previous regular season, 13. And yet Mike Evans only got, in reality, a two-year contract. So are the Commanders only looking at trying to give Terry a two-year contract and then spreading out money because avoidables? Are the Commanders looking at a three-year deal? Are the Commanders, I can't imagine they are, looking at a four-year deal? Is that what Terry wants? Does Terry sit there and say, well, you know what? Instead of getting the first 2 years guaranteed, essentially, and then being cuttable after that, I want three guaranteed years, or three largely guaranteed years. Mike Evans, again, has 1 year remaining on his contract, and he only averages, again, $20.5 million a year. So if the Commanders are looking at the Mike Evans contract, we're in trouble, because that's not what the market dictates. Now, age is the biggest difference. DK Metcalf, again, got $33 million, and he's what, 26? So that's where the dispute comes in. And if they're disputing age and value off of age, if they're disputing term, and if they're disputing value per term, then there is a really good chance that Terry McLaurin is not going to be signed to a contract extension by the time training camp starts. And then we have a daily drama of, is Terry close? Is Terry coming back? Is Terry skipping the season? Is Terry going to demand a trade? Like, what the deal is? Because, again, if they're using Mike Evans, as Schefter suggested and someone else suggested, I can't remember who it was, but if they're using the Mike Evans comp because of age, along with term, and along with average per year, that's not going to work for Terry. And quite honestly, that's not fair to Terry. Again, I realize he's 3 years older than a bunch of the other top paid players. I got it. I understand that. But that's not the reality. Is that's when he had the breakout year, and that's the way his contract is structured, to have one more year left, just like Evans. I guarantee you, if Mike Evans asked for a 3 or 4 year deal from the Buccaneers right now at $35 million a year, he would get told no too. DK Metcalf is 28. I thought he was 27. He's 28. So, again, the comp there, remember we did, Terry had the same amount of targets. I think it was the same amount of reception yards, or maybe it was the same amount of receptions, but DK Metcalf had like 10 more touchdowns. And DK Metcalf is a couple of years younger. So for that reason, I say, look, I understand if the team is kind of like at 31, 32. But here's the problem. I can't understand and grasp my arms around a notion that, oh, hey, 2 year deal, $21 million per year, even if it's fully guaranteed, that's going to be tough for me. And I'm sure that's tough on Terry. That's not the way that's going to work in a positive way. And if the Commanders dig in on that because they're using the Mike Evans comp as opposed to the DK Metcalf comp, we might be in for one here. All right, let's hear what the Junkies had to say earlier this morning right here on the Team 980. They talked about the Terry McLaurin situation. Let's see what the boys thought, because I heard part of their show, but more their Nationals coverage. So I didn't hear this, but AMAC was able to get this for us. So let's just check out what the guy said.
Everyone's talking about the window. We have your rookie quarterback on his rookie deal or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you should be in the business of getting rid of your best players in the prime of their career. So if they did decide to trade him, or he did request a trade, that would be a big blow to this football team.
Yeah.
Big blow. And I have heard that he's upset. Heard it actually a couple times. I know that John Keim tried to say it was, you know, listen, that's just agent. You can't get too much into that. But I've heard others say that, no, in fact, he is upset. So. And now Fowler's reporting it.
And if they can't come to an agreement and meet in the middle with whatever numbers are being thrown out there, and he's going to say, that's it, I'm not going to play for what they're offering, and I don't believe they're going to increase the offer, and I want to trade, that's a totally different world there.
Yeah.
Well, but until we get there, I think it's still going to happen.
I got to believe it's going to happen. But if he requests a trade, that is a wrinkle. That's a big wrinkle.
Yeah.
And I don't think it makes us better. I don't care how many draft picks we get.
Well, certainly doesn't make them better this year.
No, makes us worse. Makes us worse.
All right, so that is Jason Bishop. That is EB, Eric Bickle from the Junks this morning here on the Team 980. So the guys more concentrating on what if Terry requests a trade? And what if Terry does request a trade? I mean, that's something obviously I haven't really thought about much or talked about because I thought, oh, okay, the time is not yet for that. But the time is inching closer. What happens if they are truly as far apart as they seemingly are and could be? And I just gave you some of the potential ways that they are far apart on with the Mike Evans deal. What happens if we get to, I don't know, August 15th and Terry's missed the first 3 weeks of camp and things don't seem to be any better and the Commanders aren't budging and Terry's not budging? At some point, Terry McLaurin, who is identified as a true Commander, is going to say, you know what, screw this. All I've done is perform. All I've done is everything you've asked me to do. I had my best year when you gave me a chance. Don't look at my age as just a number, as just a statistic. Look at what I did last year. That's what I want you to look at. And they're going to say, hey, listen, Terry, like, we get what you've done, but, you know, before that, you only averaged 4.5 touchdowns a year. Before that, you've never been a 13 or 1400 per year guy, or hell, even a 1200 a year guy. Came close, but you didn't get there. And you averaged 4.5 touchdowns for 4 years. So we can't just pay you what everyone else gets paid based off of one elite year and based off the fact that you are 2 to 3-ish years older than them. So what is that worth? What is that worth? I mean, I think if Terry's being fair, he's got to understand that he is not treated the same or should not be graded the same as CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson or, more specifically, even DK Metcalf, even though he's got some comparable numbers to DK Metcalf. DK does have 10 more touchdowns or whatever it is than Terry. Again, some of that can be contributed to the quarterback or attributed to the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, not all. But that's what DK Metcalf got. And I'm sure that's what Terry's looking at. But Terry's going to have to understand that age is a real thing. And not everybody exactly gets treated the same when you have that variance, when you have that variable. And Terry McLaurin, if he is as set in as people want you to believe, and if the Commanders are dug in, then this is going to go into training camp. And again, 2, 2.5 weeks into camp, you might have a trade request. You might have permission granted. Will it work out? Will something like that happen? I'll give you the chances of it next on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. And as well now, you can catch the show live or on demand on the iHeartRadio app or on TuneIn. So come and join us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, and that's the problem with Paulie. Yeah, happy birthday, Paulie. July 4th was Paulie's birthday. We were off for a three-day weekend. You know, enjoying some barbecue, but nevertheless, I mean, just we'll want to make sure we send out our congratulations, our wishes, our best wishes and all that good stuff. All right. Back with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So let me give you one thing and then we'll get back to the phone calls. 301-230-0980. The chances of Terry McLaurin being traded, I think, are still 5%-ish. The chances of him asking or being given permission to seek a trade, I think that's different. I think that's like 15-20%. It's higher than the chances of him actually getting traded, but I do think it's a possibility. I think both are a small possibility, but I think it's certainly a bigger possibility that we get to a point mid-August, somewhere in that range, where he's exasperated, and whatever that word is, and he, or his agent, more specifically, demands a trade or requests a trade, or the team grants him permission to explore a trade. I think that's possible. Again, I would put both at less than 20%. I would put the actual percentage that he gets traded at 5%. I would put the chances that we get to a trade request of some sort or permission at 15 to 20%. And I would say like right around August 15th, somewhere in that range. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm willing to say that, I think. All right, let's get back to it on the phones. Let's go. AMAC, is line one still there, or are we just at line two? Oh, okay. Let's go to Lapp, and then we'll get to Athan after that. What's up, Lappy? How are you?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Rooster?
What's shaking?
Good show, man. Not much. Just getting over this 4th of July weekend, man. I was so busy ripping around with family and friends and stuff. But it was cool, man. I had some good barbecue, good fireworks. Attaboy. So it was good, man.
Attaboy.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good for you.
Yeah. With the Terry thing, man, they got to get this resolved, man. I'm hoping it works out. Cause, you know, we lost the Army, and I want to get Debo and Terry, you know, on the same page with Jaden, man, so we can focus, get that chemistry and build, you know, for next season, man. So it'd be sucking. It was just suck, man, if they can't get that together. And so I guess we're just going to see. You know, we're definitely going to see what happens.
Yeah, here's the thing, Lapp, right? Like Terry McLaurin is contractually required to play. But that doesn't mean that at some point both sides don't take that next step that I was just talking about. Right now they haven't. But that doesn't mean that both sides can't grow frustrated with each other or trying to make a public stand and say, all right, fine, you think you can do better? Go seek a trade, and then we'll talk. If that team is willing to give us, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and maybe a player that we like, yeah, sure, find it. Go ahead. I mean, we could easily get to that point, I think. I don't think it will wind up with Terry not being there, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see, man. As talented as he is, it just sucks. But he is getting older, you know, and, I mean, we can go younger, but, you know, I want to at least get another year or two with him and Jaden together. So we shall see.
We shall, indeed. Glad you had a good weekend. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Let's get to line two. Our guy, Double A, Athan in Annapolis, is with us. What up, Double A? How are you?
Good to go on this Monday, and it's hard because there's real football people making some very hard decisions for this team. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin gave the Bucks the hometown discount to stay there. Now, I don't know how much of that plays into because there's no state tax in Florida, what the ultimate numbers end up being in the numbers you were talking about, $20 million, and you know how much would that, you know, would break out in taxes or whatever. But he's not elite. Now he's our elite receiver, but and he did a lot of great things last year. But I even rewatched the Bucks game on 4th of July, but it was just like he's not. He's just not that Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. So if it comes to make a trade, listen, we're in this. This is a marathon. Marathon. It isn't a 10-second race or whatever. So they're going to have to just do what's best for the team. He can be upset all he wants, and I feel bad for him and John Allen and many other players that burned a lot of their 20s and their careers here playing for ineptness, incompetence, and everything. But it was what it was. They still got paid. They still cashed the paycheck. And as far as the Nationals go, it's been like watching a slow, cancerous death since they won the World Series. I don't know how much more talent Mike Rizzo could find via trade, via draft. He didn't. He wasn't 100% effective, but who is, okay? I mean, you lost everybody. Trey Turner, Soto, you named all of them. And then, you know, I don't know what medical person evaluated Strasburg's elbow and shoulder and said he was good to go to give him that contract, but what happened, happened. It's just very unfortunate because the Learners can bring whoever they want in here. They have no bullpen. They have sketchy starting pitching, and their hitting is hit or miss. To your point, they could have a jolt and win some games and get back on track a little bit, but they're nowhere near. I mean, you talk about the bottom falling out from 5 years ago. You're just not supposed to be this deep in the hole after winning the World Series.
Well, so here's what I would say. You're right about just about everything you said. Here's my thing that why I can't totally defend Rizzo and why I can't totally defend Davey is they did have talent that came up through the minor league system that whether it was hype or whether it was just the reality, I don't know. But like Victor Robles never turned out to be anything close to what the hype was. And the fact that they refused to trade him early on in his career, when they could have made a deal in the division with the Marlins, I believe during Harper's last year, they refused to do that. Now, you know, was Victor Robles a serviceable player? Sure. Yes. Serviceable. That's about it. Carter Kieboom, perfect example, right? So Seth Romero, they never got anything out of him. So far, because of injuries, they haven't gotten enough or anything really out of Cade Cavalli or Jackson Rutledge, right? So all of these guys that we've heard so much about, Elijah Green, Brady House obviously is making the contribution, all of these guys that we have heard so much about, outside of James Wood and Mackenzie Gore, and I guess C.J. Abrams, they have not gotten enough from those guys to equal out the lack of investment in other areas of the organization. And that goes from free agency, and that goes from scouting, and that goes to technology, and that goes to all sorts of different things. So it's really, to me, kind of a combination of just a bad mix, a bad recipe, and I don't know if there's one person to blame, but I do know this, and it sounds like you know this, is, you know, like I had somebody push back and say, well, what did you want the Learners to say? I want the Learners to take accountability, for God's sakes. If for nothing else, it says to your customers, hey, man, what we've been doing is not good enough. What we've been doing is not right. And they refuse to do that. The few times that they speak, they did not do that in any way, shape, or form in that statement yesterday at all.
Well, Chris, when was the last time, though, you saw a billionaire take accountability for anything? Right. You got some massive egos in professional sports. And while these people may know how to make money through real estate and what have you, I think they're at least for the last few years been clueless about a lot of things, because while you're right about a lot of the players you just named off, they've had a lot of talent leave here, a lot of talent. And, you know, I mean, generational talent, whether it be free agency or trade. So I'm not enough of a baseball guru like a Toby Altizer to know all the ins and outs of it and all the players, but it's just a damn shame because they're my second team. You know, my Orioles are my first team.
No, I understand.
But it's just like, yeah, I still like to see them play well. And it's like,
don't pump up Toby Altizer's ego anymore. He's starting to become like Linnell.
Well, talking about ego. Okay, I talked to Ty guy. Okay, he's willing to shave his head if AMAC does it. Talk about ego.
Oh, well, maybe we can work on that negotiation. How about that?
I already told him it's not happening. We can
get that right now. Okay, Tyler's getting obsessed with muscles now too. Right. So okay. I think you might start to see Tyler drink a few protein shakes or something. You might be getting some reports from Natalie that he's pumping the iron because he's been like reborn and baptized.
Oh gosh,
still getting to know AMAC.
All right, I mean we're gonna have to work on this situation. we're going to have to settle both of these guys down. All right, thank you, Double A. Appreciate you as always.
You got it.
Let you run. Talk to you later on in the week. All right, let's do this. We got to spend a couple minutes on the Wizards on the other side. First, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Did Will Dawkins once again pull the wool over everybody's eyes? We will discuss next on the Team 980. Always live again on the Odyssey app, on demand as well. And you can again join us on the iHeartRadio app and tune in. All right, the Nationals have the day off today, thankfully, in St. Louis, but it was a day to announce that Miguel Cairo will serve as the interim manager. Their current bench coach, or now their former bench coach, will become their new interim manager, the team announcing. Played for 9 teams over 17 Major League Baseball seasons, got here a year and a half ago, and has served as Davey Martinez's bench coach, has worked with a number of different organizations, including the Mets, Yankees, White Sox, and others. As the new interim general manager, Mike DiBartolo, made a statement, quote, calling Cairo a diligent worker and student of the game. He has a proven track record of showing strong leadership in a variety of situations. I believe his voice and energy will serve as a catalyst to our team and our fan base, in part. From Mike DiBartolo, the club's interim general manager. Meanwhile, Nationals have the day off, but a big series underway in the American League tonight at 6:30. It is the Detroit Tigers. It is the Tampa Bay Rays, 6:40 actually, for the first pitch game nationally available on FS1. The Tigers were just here last week and actually lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, who swept the Nationals over the weekend, are home tonight for the Colorado Rockies. So that is a 7:10 first pitch at Fenway Park. The NBA continues to make deals. Not only is the Cam Whitmore deal official from over the weekend, involving, of course, CJ McCollum and much more. Now the NBA has a 3-team deal that sends Norman Powell to Miami, John Collins to the Los Angeles Clippers, and Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson plus a 2027 Clippers second round pick to the Utah Jazz. And that's what's trending. Nobody's saying that today, right? I think we can all agree on some things after talking it out for the last 2.5 hours that the Nationals probably made the right move. The timing was awful, weird, consistent with just befuddling decisions that are made by the Lerners. And unfortunately, you got to deal with it. You got to like it. But you guys have been kind of talking with your wallets, which I think had a bigger impact on this move than people realize. I think the Lerners are driven by one thing and one thing alone, and that's not winning. The Lerners have been driven by money for as long as they've owned this team, and that's really what they largely care about. And I think when you see crowds of, again, 16,000 on Wednesday night against the Tigers in the middle of summer or early in summer, July 2nd, if you will, when a lot of people are off and no schools are going on and so forth, you know, I think that's not going to sit well. That's not going to sit well. And I understand that. I do understand that. But a lot of good organizations are not driven by the almighty dollar. And I think that had something to do with this, ultimately. All right, let's spend a couple of moments on the Wizards from over the weekend. So they completed the deal, which was originally reported as just between them and the Pelicans. So, as you might remember, Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the rights to the number 40 overall pick, who turned out to be Micah Peavy, go to New Orleans. The Wizards received, as part of that deal, C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and then they get Cam Whitmore from Houston and a 2027 second-round pick. The Rockets, nobody cares about them, but they get the number 47 overall pick, and they get a 2026 second rounder and a 2029 second rounder. So they are trading Whitmore, who was a first-round pick just a couple of years ago, essentially for 2 second-round picks, right? And Whitmore is 21 years old, and he's a native to the area. And remember, a lot of people wanted him for the Wizards a couple of years ago when he started to fall in the draft, right? So if you – he ultimately went 20th overall in 2023. He's only averaged 10.8 points a game, almost 45% shooting, and played in 17 and a half minutes per game during his time in Houston. Now, that's a Houston team that's been getting better, and certainly they were a playoff contender this year. Why they were giving up on him, I don't have that exact answer. I don't. Maybe they have too many wings, whatever. They traded a bunch of second-round picks in order to get Kevin Durant. So getting second-round picks not only gives you second-round picks, but more importantly, it gives you flexibility to make other trades. And they had a bunch of players, including Durant, Thompson, Jabari Smith, Dorian Finney-Smith. Again, if they loved Cam Whitmore, they would not have traded Cam Whitmore. So clearly there's something in Cam Whitmore that they didn't like. But from afar, you say a 20-year-old who's from the area, who's already averaging clearly or near 11 points a game, who's already just shy of 45% shooting, who's averaging 17 and a half minutes a game, what would he be if we could get him to 24 minutes a game? Or 25 minutes a game, whether it be off the bench in a super sub role or whether it be as a starter. And obviously, this team has a dearth of talent, and they can do a lot of different things. And I think the one thing I feel safe in saying is that Cam Whitmore is going to play a lot more in Washington than he did in Houston, right? And he is going to, you think, along with some of the talent that they drafted last week, you would think he is going to offset some of the lost offense in Jordan Poole. Again, not all by himself, but he is going to help, and he is going to develop with experience already, 2 years of experience, along with the other 5 first-round picks that this team has accumulated over the last couple of drafts. I think somebody said they have like 8 first-round picks over the last 3 years of the draft. And I keep, and I will tell you this until I'm blue in the face, nobody cares about this. They have played the long game way better than people think. Yes, it's great to have accumulated assets and cap space and the ability to take on bad contract. That's what you hear from all the NBA blowhards. What the NBA blowhards won't tell you is they have actually built a team, again, as I keep saying, like the Indiana Pacers, like the Oklahoma City Thunder, like the Boston Celtics, where they are not one person dependent. Again, they are not as good as those teams. I'm not suggesting they are, but they are heading there. They are not one person dependent. They are a team that has 7, 8 different options. In other words, they are not reliant on one specific person to be a superstar, stud, or to be healthy. Like, think about it. Victor Wembanyama kind of fell into the lap of the San Antonio Spurs. And again, he's not just there by himself. I got it. They have other players. But that organization's future solely depends on Victor Wembanyama. Right now, you would say, well, all right, the Wizards probably depend on Alex Saar going from good to great, or whatever the case might be. And I would say this, again, they might not have that generational superstar that a Wembanyama is, and remember, he missed the second half of the year. They might not have that. Well, they don't have that. But you know what they have? They have a lot of young talent, a lot of depth. They're all learning how to play together. They're all learning how to play on a night-in, night-out basis. And they have the veteran core to help support them and to teach them. And before you know it, the Wizards are going to be back in the playoffs. I don't think it'll be this year, but I don't think it's as far away as people think it is. I'd be surprised if the Wizards aren't in the playoffs, truly in the playoffs, in 2 years. I'd be surprised. I mean, they have that much young talent. They are continuing to accumulate assets, and they will get more talent. And we know talent and depth ultimately wins out. Not just one player. Not just one player. So I think this is a good move. I don't know if Cam Whitmore is going to be great here, but I think he can certainly be good. And I think you're going to get probably 24, 25 minutes out of him, and you're probably going to get 14 points, 15 points a night out of Cam Whitmore. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show. Dum-dum of the day is straight ahead right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, this one might be harsh, but you know we talked about this a week ago when Jalen Ramsey was traded by the Miami Dolphins to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Jonnu Smith, the tight end, was involved in that trade. They swapped picks, whatever. And everybody went, oh, Pittsburgh serious about winning. Pittsburgh, Jalen Ramsey's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And I kept trying to tell you that Jalen Ramsey is about me. Jalen Ramsey is as selfish as they come. Jalen Ramsey was not wanted in Miami. And now you have a Sun Sentinel report that said the reason why the Dolphins had to trade Jalen Ramsey is because he was hurting the culture, that he was regularly late to practices, would constantly undermine former defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, who, remember, was run out of Miami a year ago, in order to join the Philadelphia Eagles, and head coach Mike McDaniel. Again, showing up late, talking bad, questioning, talking smack, hurting the culture. And people say you can't win if you don't have great talent. Well, here's the thing. I think we've all established that, yes, it is harder to win without great talent, but it is really hard to win without poison or with poison. And that clearly, to anybody that's been paying attention for years and years and years, is Jalen Ramsey. He's always been selfish and about himself. You cannot win with guys like that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are about to find that out. So for that, Jalen Ramsey, for being a bad teammate, for undermining my guy Mike McDaniel, the hell with you. Fanboys are probably going to have a major problem with that. I don't care about fanboys. I don't need jock sniffers. I need good people. I need good teammates. I need good leaders. I need good veterans, not guys that are making it all about themselves while getting paid $25 million a year. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow with some more about the Nationals and obviously a bunch on the Commanders as we draw closer to training camp. We've got some controversial sound that we'll bring you tomorrow. Let's leave it at that. That is tomorrow starting at 1. Craig Hoffman is next. I believe Anthony Haney is back from his luxury French vacation, or Antonio as they're calling him. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to you for being a part of the show. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.